I've noticed actually some hot, sexy young things had a podcast, and they release little video clips as little sort of teaser trailer things on Twitter.
And do you think we should do the same?
I suppose the question is, does our physical appearance enhance or detract from our from the experience with us?
I think it's a big detraction.
Yeah. Because what do you picture when you hear our voices?
Well, we had an email this week about this. Do you want me to read it to you?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
About what one listener imagines that we all look like.
There was some alarm at the live show at our appearances.
Oh, yeah, there was.
I seem to recall.
It's from Ewan Evans.
Uh-huh.
He says, I just wanted to bring to your attention a thought that's been buzzing around my head since your podcast entered my life.
Okay.
To be blunt, I believe that you are either lying about how you look or your voices and personas betray you and your personalities.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to have to sit with that for a minute. Try and
I don't know what that means.
Okay, please not the only one. Do we try and unpack that or do we just crack on?
The only thing it's one or the other, right? That's what he's saying.
What is?
Us.
I wonder if we just move on. This feels like a sort of English GCSE comprehension exercise where some of the questions you're just going to have to let go of them and move on to the next one.
It's like you do a quick calculation in your head about points and time, and you're like, I just sacrifice the question.
Yeah, this is
move on to sort of cortex and pith, anything to do with the stem of a plant. That's where you're strong.
Yeah, which you hope comes up, as I've mentioned, in your English literature GCSE exam.
It's not. It's not. Oh no! What's happened? We've lost someone. Have you had that experience? Ben's left.
Ben has just gone.
God, was that storming out? That was a sort of Zoom storm out.
I don't know. I got a little message saying, you are the host now.
Bloody hell.
He'd gone. He must have read the rest of that letter, and for some reason he's either skipped town or he's just done with the pair of us.
Can't believe he's left us, you know, in the middle of a pod as well like this.
Welcome to... Two bean salad.
Yay.
probably don't need Ben anyway.
No,
do
you, Henry? We'll be fine.
Go.
Okay. Fucking hell. I can't do this.
Hello.
Oh, I think he's back. He's back.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Oh. Ben, we tried to pod without you. It was absolute shit fucking car crash.
It was miserable.
Oh, my God, it was awful.
Yeah.
It was like being strangled by a squid.
I did actually spend some time as a thought experiment imagining if we had to do versions of the podcast where one of us wasn't there. And each permutation is actually horrifying, I think.
I know. You're right. In different ways.
In very different ways.
One combination is just dull. One combination is just extraordinarily bigoted.
Yeah.
One is incredibly sanctimonious.
I think if it's just me and Mike, that would descend into basically me being in trouble with you the whole time. It would be like, Henry, come on.
Yes, that's probably fair.
I don't know why I think it would turn into that.
I think
that.
Ben does probably, is he acts as a buffer, a bollocking buffer, I would say.
I would become more childlike and more sort of pathetic, and you would become more militaristic.
Yeah. In the same way, I'm much less likely to shout at my children if there's a guest in the house.
Exactly.
With Ben around,
that's it.
I'll cut you a bit of slack and go, Henry, rather than Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably right.
There will be no chalk ISIS for a year. A year.
I mean it.
Whereas when I'm here, he's always handing you chalk ISIS.
That's why I have to keep popping out, because he's couriering them across. Yeah. I have to keep popping down to get a couriered chalk ice in a mini hotel fridge that they shove on the back of the motor. That would be me and Mike. What would Mike and Ben be?
Very dull.
Yeah, extremely boring. I think we'd both enjoy it immensely.
Yeah,
it's probably be the most enjoyable one for me, but I think for the listener it'd be agony.
Going through various sort of almanacs of
nautical winds and soil changes.
Just reading out charts.
Yeah, I think it would turn into...
I really fancy that. So let us know, listeners, if you do fancy the almanac podcast with Ben and Mike.
Historical wind data.
We've managed to get the tides from New Haven, Connecticut in 1743.
Oh, I love the sound of this.
58 horsepower. North-northeast. 74 horsepower. North-northwest. 75 horsepower.
That's a great wind unit.
It would just be that kind of thing. And I think it might actually then become quite big as...
Kind of like a sleep aid.
Something that's quite good, yeah, or to euthanize people too.
There'd have to be very stringent warnings all over the place.
Yeah.
Mike, I've just put in the chat a link to some tide times. Should we try and read them out and we can just do a little section?
Good idea.
Let's see if our listeners are keen. Oh, it's New Haven as well.
But it's not New Haven.
The other New Haven.
So it says here.
The English Channel Coast.
So I'll start some music. The town of New Haven lies at the mouth of the River Ouse on the English Channel coast. Due to its location, it is a ferry port for services into France.
Tide times. High, 2:30 a.m. Height, 6.26 metres.
Low tide.
Go on.
Low tide.
But you keep those kind of bloopers in because people would love that, wouldn't they?
How do you think? I don't know. I think charts...
I know, you've got to keep it. Yeah,
it's not
right.
The place for bloopers. This is exactly why you wouldn't be involved.
Exactly, I'm fucking
And do
up
you
already.
Mind not butting in on our Tide podcast?
Sorry, I'm not supposed to be involved in this.
Henry!
Sorry.
Right, hang on, I've just got to phone the Chuck Ice guy. This next one, you give it to him, but crushed. Thank you. Ruined it.
Low tide. 8:52 a.m. Height... 1 meter, 51 centimeters.
High tide, 2:51 p.m. 6.02 meters.
Low tide, 9:22 p.m. These tides for New Haven are automatically adjusted for British summertime where applicable.
For sale. Fresh crabs for sale. Come get your crabs. Fair price for a fair crab.
Wow. The guys in East Blatching who are listening right now.
It's not bad, though.
Are going to go nuts. And the advert that they have on the Tide Times website is for 7 signs your liver is dying.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Well, that'll be one of your sponsors, won't it? It'll be liver stuff.
This might be a good time, actually, to mention our new website.
Yeah. What's the address, Ben?
Threebeansalad.org. Hopefully, by the time the listeners get to this, it will feature all the information they may need to consider the Three Bean Salad lifestyle. However, when I bought it yesterday and sent you the link... It had already been populated by loads of adverts for dog meat.
What was that thing you sent me, Ben? I didn't really understand it.
That was genuinely our website, I think.
It's a website that we own.
We're now getting behind quite a lot of dog meat.
That people buy stuff through our website? No.
I've not clicked on the links because I think for all the world they're probably sort of virus things.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a classic phishing.
Yeah,
Rod,
how do you lure people in? How do you lure the most people in?
fresh raw dog meat.
Fresh raw dog meat mixed with chicken paste.
Yeah.
Delivered to your home. Click.
You're gonna have a look.
Of course you're gonna have a look.
Yeah. If you've got any kind of occasion coming up, a birthday, a christening.
And within 24 hours, Russian operatives taking your identity.
Yeah.
You've been dropped on a remote Pacific island with a kilo of plastic strapped to your nuts.
Yeah.
What started with you wanting dog meat, you end up being the dog meat.
Well, yeah. Well, all you've got with you on that island, and I don't think a lot of people choose this as their luxury on Desert Island Discs, I can tell you, is a machine with instructions, and it's a machine to turn yourself into dog meat. And that's the final humiliation, is you have to do it yourself.
Well, weirdly, Jeanette Winterson actually did go for that one.
Jeanette Winterson is the only person who went for it. The
only person who's ever gone for that.
It's actually quite a sensible choice, really, realistically.
Well, she assumed there'd be wild dogs on the island that she could use partially use her own body as bartering. She was a dog meat for her right leg.
Most people don't consider the number of wild dogs that might be on that island when they go into the disc.
And how much you could really cheer them up by mincing yourself.
Yeah. My thing is, you know, this is the last conversation you're having before being taken to a desert island. Why are you going over your past and your history and why, you know, how you got on in your career? Surely it should have all, much more of it should be focused on.
Have you got any questions about how to make a bivouac?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the presenter these days? Lauren Laverne.
It is, yeah, that's yeah. Right.
Does she feel like the kind of person who'd be able to tell you how to create potable water in the...
But I remember when I was a kid and I listened to it, that was literally the only bit of the show I was interested in, because my parents would play it in the car when we were doing long drives and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the only bit I liked about that show was just the last sort of 30 seconds where they actually address the desert island thing. But yes, brilliant.
Because they do say, don't they? They always say, how do you think you'd fare on the desert island?
Yeah.
And they always go, well, actually, I think I'd be okay, you know. They always say that because yeah. I'm quite good in my own company, and I think I'd actually be all right. And you think, what are you talking about, you absolute idiot?
I think I'm quite good in my own company for an evening in my heated home and Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
That's true of most people, except Martin Amis, who did say that he would be eating his own shit within minutes. He's one of the only people that really went honest with it. Yeah.
I suppose also the first day of the desert island is you just walk around looking at the corpses of all the other dead famous people, like a sort of really macabre Madame Tussauds of everyone who's ever been on desert island discs.
Trying to fight off giant Pacific rats with a couple of heavy books.
Yeah. And the only one who survived, of course, is Martin Amis, who turns out is actually thriving on his own shit.
Because even the rats look at him and go, whoa. So, yes, I can't remember how we got onto that. But, we've got a website now, 3beansalad.org.
Cool website. We've also got a letter that we began.
Oh, gosh, of course. And also, then, we didn't discuss what the podcast would be like if it was just me and Henry.
Ooh.
That one, for me, is the less clear one.
I don't think that's less clear.
What would it be?
I think that's just an endless stream of technical questions and inquiries from Henry related to every single electrical and household appliance that he can get his hands to.
Yes, that's what it would be.
Yeah. And within 30 minutes, you're going to be checking the oil on his car down the line.
Yeah.
You're going to be relacing some boots, even.
Yes, I would become particularly helpless.
He'd be totally infantilized.
I'd become totally infantilized, and in a sort of Munchausen's way.
Yeah.
Ben would encourage it, I think, after a point.
I think so, yeah. And, it'd be wholly dependent. By the end of a single episode, it'd be wholly dependent.
Completely dependent on Ben.
Yeah. And by the end of series one, completely incontinent as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just basically turning the clock back on you until you're just completely helpless, sort of fetus man.
Yeah, and then fashioning him into the man you want.
I see.
The other end of that.
So I take him back to zero, and then I build him back up.
Yeah.
As Anthony.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My servant, Anthony. Anthony! Bring me my meats.
Be careful, because Anthony might grow back stronger and more powerful than you ever imagined. But he probably won't. So you're fine. Chances are he won't. We'll see.
Well, that's a good twist for like season 7, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anthony, why have you disobeyed me? Anthony!
No chalk ice is for you today, Anthony.
I've made a cup of tea by myself. Now who is the master?
No! No!
Oh, shit, it's not tea. It's is it lasagna? Fuck. Oh, sorry. As we were. So what else?
There was the letter. I think the letter was the last thing remaining on the agenda. Confused. The letter that caused Ben to flee or...
So he was imagining what we'd all look like, was he?
Yeah, so he says...
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
this is Ewan. He says, in my mind, Ben looks like Jimmy Carr and sits at a newsreader's desk and operates as a non-respected manager, but who understands his staff are complete liabilities. That's me.
Well, that's more than just how you look. It's
that's quite the essence of the man.
He's given you the essence of you. A non-respected manager.
It's quite backhanded. There's a touch of the Spurbs to that assessment, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Read on with caution.
Yeah.
Well, this next one is less backhanded and more Pete Sampras four-handed.
Oh, right.
Henry.
Oh, dear.
Looks like someone who joined Curry's during the sixth form and is still there 20 years later and has in no way any promotion chance.
Well, for one thing, that guy doesn't know how retail works because there's no way you're on the shop floor in Curry's without at least getting certain basic privileges like access to the till or operating chip and pin, taking orders, going to and from the stockroom.
Processing refunds.
Processing refunds. There's room for me to, I'm not going to say blossom, but there is space for me in Curry's.
Germinate, at the very least.
To at least germinate. And, for example, polishing the laptops every morning, that kind of thing. Telling people about the parking, rules to do with parking, and giving people directions to Screwfix, if that's what they're looking for.
Oh, you'll be able to rattle off the fact that it's the same car park for pets at home in no time. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And so, it's a two-hour maximum stay.
So are you saying that you do have a chance at promotion?
Well, put it this way, I've worked in retail before. I once, these hands, they're... Yeah. What's the opposite of soft?
Hard?
Hard.
They're hard. They're calloused with work. If anyone's seen my hand...
Calloused with retail.
It's like looking at a sort of 19th century Breton farmer's hand, isn't it?
Of course.
Are you talking about your time in the toy shop?
No, I'm talking about my time in a gift shop in Islington.
The gift shop boys' hands are one tougher, aren't they? You've got your Breton farmer, you've got your Cornish fisherman, and then just beyond that.
Put it this way, have you ever lifted and carried a Brabantia chrome bin from a stockroom to a shop floor area? No. Well, neither have I, because that wasn't one of my jobs. But
you weren't allowed to touch the chrome bins.
Fucking dream on.
That's manager level.
You've carried a small cardboard box full of bunting, though, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. That kind of thing.
What was the big seller in the gift shop?
The Brabantia bins were quite big sellers. The was it's the equivalent of a sort of hard mouse pad, but for a plate. What do you call them?
What are they called? Like a plate?
A placemat?
Placemat.
There you go. You'd have done well, Mike. I think you got the touch.
It's not what you're for. I mean, you describe everything starting from the point of a mouse pad, anyway, don't you?
Yeah, everything can be described as a.
It's like
a mouse pad,
but it's got two wheels, one at the front and handles, and you have to put petrol in it. And motorbike.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's it.
It's like a giant wet mouse pad that covers over half of the Earth's surface. Yeah.
It's just a jumping off point. It's helpful. I'm not going to jump up your ass about it. It's fine.
No, exactly. So there were placemats with, I believe, watercolour illustrations of sea life on them. Mm. Those were quite big at the time.
Nice.
And there was a cabinet, which I had the keys for, which was sort of male gifting. So,
hello.
Hello.
That's something that's... It was now on the statute books as a criminal offence.
I don't know if these things are still big, really, but at the time...
A Brabantia butt plug.
Pedal operated.
It was things like a pen, which is a torch. A torch, which you can write with. A torch pen. a diary, which is a torch. Cufflinks, which are a torch. A pen, which is a cufflinks. It was all that sort of that kind of stuff, and it was sort of gifts for Dad that people would struggle with.
And Dad just wants to slice something up or light it up, doesn't he?
Exactly, that's what he wants. They're like very low level Bond, rubbish things that Q might give Bond.
Did he used to sell the space pen? Are you aware of the space pen?
Oh, I tell you what, though, there was an underwater pen.
Yes, I think it might be the same.
But
same
what?
Thing.
So, is a space pen the only pen you can use in space?
It was apparently used on the Apollo missions, and it can work up because there's no gravity in space. Normally, with a biro, you need the gravity to pull the ink down.
Yeah,
it somehow works upside down, and that's a big Dad gift if you've got no idea.
But that's also a famous big Dad kind of tidbit of trivia, isn't it?
What is?
Well, if you, I mean, if you're a dad, if you're a provincial dad, as I am, then you have ready to go at the drop of a hat. Mm. Well, of course, NASA spent millions of dollars developing their space plane, like a biro that could work upside down. But I'll tell you what the Soviets used. A pencil. And any provincial dad, at the moment they become a father, is issued with this tidbit of trivia and is able to deploy it like that. Yeah.
So does that mean there are Russian sort of pencils. Shavings,
yeah,
that are just floating through space forever?
That's the main debris issue right now. Yeah, that's what people are worried about, clocking up satellites.
Okay, so that's Henry. Right. That's how he sees you.
Oh, crumbs, we're still on this, aren't we?
Bloody hell.
Lastly, yeah. Mike has my firmest mental picture, in that he looks like Jeff Bridges in Dumb and Dumber.
Hmm. Okay.
But with the understanding that he would be in charge if he was 30 years younger, he is likely sat at home in a tie and suit jacket, but probably just underpants on underneath. Mm-hmm. Picture a more befuddled Boris Johnson.
Oh, no, I don't like that. Don't put Boris Johnson in it, you bugger.
There's quite a lot going on there.
It's a bit scattergun, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does Jeff Daniels look like in...
Jeff Bridges.
Oh, Jeff Bridges.
Is Jeff Bridges in Dumb and Dumber? It is Jeff Daniels, isn't it?
Right. He's not even... I think I know who's befuddled here. Well, based on that email, what do we think he looks like? What's he called, this guy?
Ewan Evans. He's from Cardiff. The email was sent from his iPhone, if that helps us out. Mm-hmm. He's a high earner.
He doesn't mind who knows it.
Yeah.
I'm picturing Cerberus, the three-headed mythical Greek dog. Is that
poking out of a Brabantia bin? You know, with the Brabantia bin, are they one of those brands that have like an insane guarantee where on your deathbed you can kind of get them to bring you a new bin as you die?
Yes. And they'll actually dispose of your corpse in the bin itself.
Yeah. And your sons, sons, and your sons, 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 and your sons, 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 sons can get a brand new bin lid if it gets a bit too grimy at any point.
It feels like in that Le Creuset world, you know, like how if you buy a Le Creuset, you've basically got a hot and cold cast iron for the rest of your life if you want it.
And you own that wherever it lands, that is your territory. It's like an embassy or something. So you could bring it to Kazakhstan and you pop it on the floor and stand in it and the authorities can't touch you. Yeah. Because you're in your Le Creuset.
Right.
Come on, we've been gassing on for fucking ages here.
We have, to the bean machine.
Bloody hell. We've gassed on for... How long have we gassed on for there?
It's been a good solid gassing.
I mean, we can't gas on that long.
So let's turn on the bean machine.
Yes,
this week, in honour of our new website, 3beansalad.org, which at time of recording only carries adverts for dog meat, but hopefully by the time you're listening to this, we'll have something on it. Mm-hmm. The bean machine's going fully digital this week.
Oh.
So I've given my my deep intestine the week off to lay fallow, to regenerate.
The break wasn't, the little mini break wasn't enough time for that.
No. And so it's we've put it on the cloud, essentially. We've kind of uploaded the mechanics of the bean machine into an online version.
Into the metaverse. It's the first part of the metaverse.
is
your large intestine.
Currently, if you join the metaverse, all there is a kind of avatar of Mark Zuckerberg playing my large intestine like a saxophone.
Also, it's a bit confusing, isn't it, Ben? How actually work, the cloud? So does that mean the bean machine's on your laptop at the same time as up on the cloud? Or, you know, and where is the cloud? You know, all that kind of, the passwords has been a nightmare, isn't it, for you?
All right, boomer.
Yeah, for you, the cloud is just second nature, isn't it? There's just no...
There's no difference between me and the cloud.
Yeah.
We are as one.
Yeah.
Whereas for you, you still assume it's to do with the post office.
For me, it's still... So hang on. Where is this photo of Bluebell and how does it relate to the Royal Mail? Can you just please explain it to me now? So where do I put a stamp? I don't have to lick the back of the stamp anymore. I get that now, okay?
But what do I lick?
What do I lick?
Do I lick Bluebell?
Do I lick you? I can't lick an idea. Okay, I tried that. I can't do it.
Okay, so let's get it going. So this week's topic, sent in by Rebecca from southwest of Bremen.
Oh,
nice.
Southwest corner of the old quarter.
Where you can still see the old ladies making those long, very, very long loaves that they make.
That they carry in their hats.
That they then carry in their hats.
On high days and holidays.
Yeah. But to watch them rolling out those loaves, it's quite something.
So the topic is...
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Exercise.
Something to which I think we all have different approaches.
Mm.
And Henry, I think we've talked about Henry's in the past, haven't we?
What, my regime?
Well, isn't yours that it's sort of a weekly, get it all done in one go, in one extremely intense five-a-side match. And you're a bloody toned pulp by the end of it, refreshed and renewed for the remainder of the week.
That's right. That's what I do. Oh, the amount of injuries that I and everyone else doing it now have picked up is just ridiculous. There's so many bits of me now that are sprained or sort of permanently inflamed. I've got my left ankle has got something which literally every physio I've ever shown it to has had to sort of sit down and sort of go, bloody hell, hang on. hang on a minute, is that... This isn't one of Colin's tricks, is it? I'll often say something like that. Like, I know.
You've got a cloven ankle.
You've got the full backwards foot. It's on the wrong way around.
Yeah. The only advantage of that being you can wear two left shoes, which means that nicking shoes is walking the park.
Of course, because left is actually technically right backwards.
Exactly. Which means that nicking shoes is walking the park, although generally it's quite hard to get two of the same shoe, but you're going to get two left because they'll normally just only display one shoe. So it won't be the right size. Because they never display 11.
Or style.
Style.
You've got to get what you can get.
But you got to get what you can get.
You'll be wearing a welly next to a stiletto.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so what I've got on my left ankle, right, is it looks like it's swollen. So it looks like a sprain, which is obviously when all bones are linked together by ligaments, which are basically elastic bands. You stretch them too far, like an elastic band.
Is this
band.
Taking you back to medical school, Mike?
Oh, it is.
They'll snap.
Word for word.
They'll snap. And body, incredible, the body, it's got this, it's like it's got little ambulances, which are called blood cells. They run down the passage roads through the veins. They get down there and they...
Each one's got a small tool bag.
Each one's got a small tool bag and they'll get to work and they flood the area with liquid, essentially, to create a kind of protective...
Just like any paramedic would.
Yeah.
The scene for medical emergency.
First thing they do,
just like any
check the airway,
yeah. Just like any paramedic, they come down, they cover everything liquid in a big ball, a big plastic ball, a bit like a Zorb, essentially a big Zorb. They fill you because once everything's suspended in liquid, it can't change. Everyone can have a breather, except the person in the liquid, ironically.
Okay.
Yeah, so my ankle's like that. So it's swollen up as if it's. But here's the weird thing: when you press it, it's completely hard. So it's essentially a hard ball is permanently there on my left ankle. And anyone I show it to, they're always, almost always aghast.
Instant recoil.
It's instant recoil. And it's like the sack of liquid that my body put there to protect it has now ossified and sort of turned into like just bone or something. I don't know. Is that possible, Mike?
And that's going to slowly spread up the leg.
Right, okay. Is that what happens?
Until about 5 years' time, it'll just be a solid... rock solid Henry shaped bone.
Like a fossil, essentially.
Bloody hell.
I think you're fossilizing, yeah. I think he's right.
But it's not just your ankle, is it? You're now at kind of full body shutdown stage.
It sets off a sort of chain reaction then, because once you've got one thing a bit weird, it means you're then stepping a bit weird.
Oh.
Before you know it, your lower back's getting involved.
Exactly. Then you've got
you're losing ballroom competitions left, right, and centre.
Yeah. Every time you cough, bits of cartilage are flying across the room. It all starts getting broken up on the inside.
So those blood cells now have moved into a demolition phase, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're now so going.
They're in a condemned building.
That's the other phase they can go into, which is let's just pack this stuff up. Let's get it ready for it. It's over. Let's just pack it up. Just
remove anything valuable.
Yeah. And get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Hope he sneezes us onto a fox or something and try and make some inroads in You know what I mean? We can start again somewhere else.
What? So they're gonna build something within the Fox using your cartilage from your.
I don't know exactly how they work, blood cells, obviously, but I think obviously all.
Are they going to build like a sort of battle helmet for the Fox?
Potentially, but all molecules, all organisms just want to survive, don't they? So the blood cells are no different. They'll just want to go and start again in someone else's body, be that a fox or. But I tell you what, right? How this left ankle thing happened. The thing which gave me this left ankle problem was peer pressure, and I'll explain.
Okay.
Oh, this is...
So basically...
This is smoking hot start.
It's a smoking hot start, isn't it? There's quite a lot to learn from this tale, I think. I was playing a five-a-side game that I'd never played before. A friend of mine said, Henry, there's this other game you can play on a Wednesday. Now, you know, at this point, I was in my late 30s. I had everything, you know, but the world was at my feet.
Your gnarled feet.
My gnarled, barely functioning feet, which at that point were both facing in the same direction. It was heady days. Now, I was playing five-a-side games literally twice a week sometimes. I mean, and there was a whole circuit you'd be on when you're in your late 30s. This happens. It's like you've got a friend who's heard about a game the other side of town. You're like, yeah, I am free. Yeah, I'll
go. You've built up a network.
There's a network, sure. And people are swapping games and going, you know, another guy's got a really bad cartilage problem on my game on a Thursday.
Yeah, you've got at least three different coloured tabards you can wear, so you can just slot in.
I've got tabards. I've got so many tabards. Anyway, so I turned up at this game I'd never been to before, so I didn't know any of the people there. So when you first play a five-a-side game and you don't know any of the other people there, you know, you sort of want to impress them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I came onto the pitch, and obviously there's a bit of bravado at the beginning. There's like, oh, yeah, whew, Michelle Pfeiffer, don't mind if I do. Yeah. There'll be a lot of that stuff at the beginning. But anyway, so there's a bit of bravado, right? The game starts. And I'm trying to prove myself a little bit to these new guys, right? And what happens is I get on the pitch. And
you can use jargon with us, that's okay.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's
Yeah.
Roughly,
yeah.
Yeah. It's basically a flat outdoor rectangle.
Okay.
About the size of
football pitch?
Actually not, no, it's about the size of a quarter of a football pitch. Or okay. Probably about 20 full size snooker tables.
Okay.
It's probably the easiest way to picture it.
Yeah, got it.
And basically literally the first time I got the ball, I passed it, and I felt something go in my lower leg. I was like, oh, I've got a bloody sprain here. I think I've got a bloody sprain. I thought, Jesus. But I thought, so really at that point, I should have gone home. But because of peer pressure,
let your new friends
I think the idea that me getting onto a pitch with nine guys wanting to play five-a-side and instantly going, sorry, guys, I've got to go home. I've hurt my leg. Literally the first time I get the ball. I was like, I can't let this happen. And I carried on, right? And I thought, maybe it's okay. Maybe I didn't feel something go in my lower leg. What are feelings anyway? You know? I mean, the whole body is basically an information system. Pain isn't real. It's just it's a form of email. It's basically like an email with a red flag on it.
Spam, isn't it?
It's a spam. A lot of time it's spam. It's your body actually trying to manipulate you into doing what it wants. Well, what about what I want?
To fill in a survey.
Exactly.
To tell you...
Buy some dog meat.
So... So I thought, I'm going to persevere. Maybe it's okay. And then I got the ball again. And this time...
And your knee shattered.
It burst clean through your knee. As if going through rice paper. Yeah.
My left leg from the knee down was hanging like a flag on a still day. It was just hanging off the bottom of my knee. But then what happened was the second time I got the ball, and this time I did a pass, and I felt my lower left leg bone sort of fall onto the ground. And I was like, hang on a minute. Normally my foot bone's in the way of the in between the ground and the leg bone. Even at that point, rather than going home, I said, can I just go in goal? And I stayed for the rest of the game in goal.
Allowing other men in their late 30s to pound hard footballs at you, yeah, repeatedly.
While pretty much holding on to the goalposts, because my left leg was completely sort of inconsequential in the world of legs. You know what I mean? My left leg was an absolute non-leg. Just a non-leg.
And did they appreciate your stoicism and your heroism?
Well, none of them ever knew to this day. I did a full stiff upper lip sort of...
Full toxic masculinity.
I did a full toxic masculinity on it and drove myself to the hospital using my left hand as my left foot for the pedal. Biting my bottom lip, which was wobbling unforgivably, like some sort of damned child.
It's only the upper lip that needs to be stiff, so the bottom lip can go for it.
Oh, can it go for it? That was my mistake. Yeah. But I didn't allow myself to cry, and I did a thing which only British men can do, which is my eyes started to cry internally.
Where does it leak out?
Where it normally leaks out through the soft palate, generally.
Okay, that's the release valve.
That's the release valve. How were you at PE at school? What was your PE memories, you guys?
I was not in the kind of humiliation zone.
Well done.
I wasn't in the handful of kids who just had real problems. And looking back, it just feels so brutal, actually, when you think about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I was I was not good at anything, PE-wise, but I wasn't bad enough that I was in the kind of that level, you know?
Mm. You were solidly mediocre.
Yeah.
I think I can identify with that, yeah.
But looking back, PE lessons were so brutal. Do you not think, or I don't know if yours were similar, but something so grim about it, like it's hammering with rain, you have to go out onto a rugby pitch.
Did you have to do it in pants?
In primary school a bit.
That went into secondary school, that's do it in pants.
What?
Oh dear.
Yeah, certainly the early couple of years.
Mm.
Before puberty had really set in. Bear in mind, it's a co-educational school, so there's only so long they could really get away with that.
Mm.
But I certainly remember from the first couple of years, yeah, do it in pants if you had, and turned up in your proper PE kit.
And
do it in pants.
And just to confirm, you mean just pants, don't you? That's what they meant, just pants.
Oh, yeah, yeah, just pants, yeah. Go back to the changing room, take whatever rubbish is that you put on and just come back just in your pants and then do the lesson.
I think if we forgot to bring our kit in, there would just be some kit that, you know, they had in the back of a cupboard, but it was always really grim. Like it was a kit that someone had sort of shat themselves in and then,
oh yeah, and kept intentionally grim. It's the kid who was sick over their shorts.
Yeah
We'll keep that just so, that's perfect. Yeah. Put it in the box.
Yeah, I've never been good at any sport. What I find kind of distressing is, as an adult, as soon as I try and do any sort of exercise or sport, I feel exactly the same way, because I am that way. I'm never going to be good at anything. I'm never going to be that fit. And I really enjoyed cycling for a while. And then I went cycling with people who were good at cycling. And I was like, oh, bollocks. Oh, okay. And now I've kind of gone off it.
And then you feel like that's the way you're supposed to be doing it if you're doing it for exercise, rather than just having a nice little old poodle down the side of a river somewhere.
It kind of ruined it, yeah. When I realised I was actually not very good at it and I was a lot slower than everyone else. And
yeah.
Just,
and yeah. None of them had a basket.
Full of baguettes.
They're keeping their picnics.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
My cheese knives.
Because you just had a basket full of baguettes and cheese knives, and you just wanted to cycle around, just greeting, you know, people running market
greeting
stalls,
vicars.
And vicars, yeah. And lollipop ladies and stuff, with delightful sweet nothings whispered in French, didn't you?
Just trying not to get your silk scarf caught in the spokes of your wheel. That's the only thing you're worried about.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Lollipop Lady. Do 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 do. Fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la. Da do 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 di do di do. That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
So to contrast that with
speed, speed.
Fuck off, Eloy, you fucking idiot.
Speed, speed. If you can't crack a crab in half between your butt cheeks, you're not cycling hard enough.
Ring the crab bell. Yeah, because when I put the crab in between my butt cheeks, it just sort of, it liked it. It was warm. It was slightly damp. Yeah. It just kind of, it just felt at home.
Yeah. Smell of blue cheese. Yeah.
It inspired that crab, didn't it? That crab was like, oh, you know, it's going to be a new lease for life, this.
Oh, I hope we're going to go and do some watercolours on the bank side.
Well, when I was at school, right, I was, okay, basically I wanted to be good at football. I was so bad at football, I wasn't in the, obviously I wasn't in the main team. I was then demoted into the B team. And then I was demoted out of the football system into six spare boys. So there wasn't there wasn't enough of us to create a full-size football team or even, yeah, to play each other. So there were six of us, and we were put in the corner of the fields while everyone else played proper football. But I actually wanted to play football. I wanted to be good. And I thought, this could be the ultimate rags-to-riches American dream story. If I could get promoted from the six boys in the corner of the fields...
into the B team.
Into the B team. But bearing in mind, I'm outside of the football system. There's no sponsorship. There's no coverage.
There's no scouts.
There's no paper trail. It's literally chuck them the shittest ball we've got and just literally forget about them.
So your challenge was to make enough noise, basically, that someone noticed you.
I had to make enough noise. And so what I tried to do was I tried to turn around these six kids, because basically it was a bit like in the Kingdom of the Blind. I was a vaguely functional human, but these were the intense dweebs, the underbelly dweebs.
Yeah.
A boy called Simon who just liked looking into the middle distance.
Oh, right. Yeah. So they weren't renegades, these guys.
No.
They weren't trying to like light up spliffs in the corner of the playing
field. Oh, no. Those guys would be playing football.
This was computer club game.
These were computer club. You know, yeah, some of them just wanted to have a little amble around and enjoy the air and maybe discuss the Enlightenment, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, so they were from the 1500s.
They were from the 1500s. All the big guys from the 1500s were there. Hamilton. Voltaire.
Columbus.
And George Washington. I was like, let's get these powdered wigs off and let's start.
Let's put those falcons away and start playing football.
Yeah. Sure, we could peregrinate around the grounds all day. Perambulate.
To be honest, I like the new verb to peregrinate. That's good.
Yeah, lovely. To
amble with a peregrine falcon
on your wrist. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wonderful way of taking the airs in Geneva this winter.
At this stage, I would like to issue an apology. You would have just heard that myself and Mike were slightly ribbing Henry there for saying peregrinate.
Sure, we could peregrinate around the grounds all day.
I think we felt that he was meaning to say perambulate, which he does correct to.
Perambulate.
And then we kind of have fun with the idea that he's made up a verb to peregrinate, meaning to carry a falcon on your arm as you walk around. However, I've just checked the dictionary and peregrinate is a word. It means to go for a walk. And so Henry was correct. And really, I need to apologise to him.
Hello?
Hi, Henry.
Hi.
So I'm editing this week's episode, and there's a bit in it where you use the word peregrinate to mean to wander around, and then me and Mike slightly kind of take the piss out of you slightly, or we think that you've made up the word to mean to walk around with a peregrine falcon on your arm.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I've just looked it up, and it turns out that peregrinate really is a word that means to go for a walk.
Oh, really?
What I would like to clear up is, when you used that word, did you know that's what it meant, or were you reflecting on the fact we were talking about falcons and then making up your own verb?
You know what? I don't know where I got that word from, but it came up from somewhere inside me. It's possible that I coined it live and it has already been pre-coined, I suppose.
Well, you coined it and it instantly went into the online dictionary.
I mean, that's the power of coining. you know, in the modern age.
So when me and Mike were kind of having a bit of a laugh and saying, oh, you've made up a verb for walking around with a falcon on your arm.
Yeah.
Were you thinking these guys are twerps?
No, I tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking I'm a twerp. I actually, I'm just looking it up now. It's very nice to know that it is a word because I totally bought into what you guys were saying. I was like, I was thinking that you idiot, Henry, you idiot. Making up words, you idiot. What's wrong with you, Henry? That's how I sort of felt inside.
So how do you feel now that I'm basically apologising to you is what I'm doing?
I feel I'm grateful that you've done this. I think it shows that you're certainly a great man than Mike. It hasn't chosen to make this call yet. And I doubt will. And I think it shows that you're I appreciate it. I did feel like a bit of a wallow when I said it.
Okay, well, I'm glad to have given you a bit of sucker, and
you buoyed me up a bit because I took a bit of a hit when it happened. I slightly from a word confidence, I suppose.
Hmm.
I feel vindicated and slightly buoyed up by it.
Great. Although, okay, yeah. I'm going to go back to my edit now.
Okay.
Bye.
Cheers.
And I would try to get us to actually play properly. I was like, you're right, you go in goal, and we'll do three and in. I would try and sort of organise us. I was hoping that one of the teachers who was in charge of one of the games, literally quite far in the distance here, would at one point just turn around and see me, you know, nutmegging
George Washington.
Nutmegging George Washington, and be like, we need that kid. But I did, just because I had a few friends in the main team, I did once get on as a sub.
Oh, and that was your chance, right?
In a proper game. And
that's the midpoint of the movie.
I found it very hard to keep track of what was going on. There was a lot of big, there was a lot of big boys running around. I knew two things. One was the boys could hurt me if I touched them.
Yeah.
The second thing was I had a very, very thin, I was totally beanpole. My body was like Mikado sticks, like my limbs. Yeah. It was really, really thin and brittle. I had very, very thin and brittle.
Not the buff Turkish masseur we see today.
Exactly. And also the ball, I was also aware that the ball was very, very painful, and I was actually quite afraid of the ball when it was kicked by anyone other than George Washington or possibly Voltaire. So whenever the guy did a goal kick, I would do this thing where, because that means the ball goes really high in the air. So when it comes down, if you're going to win that ball with your head or your arm, or not your arm, your leg, it was going to hurt a lot. So what I would try, I mastered this technique, which was to look at the ball as it was sailing through the air from the goal kick and to sort of look as if I was both going for it, going to try and reach the ball, but at the same time moving in the opposite direction from the ball.
Very good.
Like an optical illusion.
Great. I would create an opposition because I didn't. If you're anywhere near the ball, then you have to go and win it. So, but obviously, you can't be seen running away from the ball in football. It's one of the no nos.
Yeah.
So I would
make yourself into a mirage.
So I would back away.
Oh, is that Henry or is that a rabbit's face? is that two old women looking at each other? Or a vase?
Is that a Moebius strip made of flesh? people passing, civilians who were just walking, you know, to and from the shops, or whatever, would say they'd seen a boy running on the spot,
and then they saw two sombreros, or was it some boobies?
Exercise.
We've seemed to mainly concentrate on childhood exercise.
It was childhood exercise.
But for me, that has... My adult exercise is really minimal compared
There's
to...
There's not much to talk about, is
in
there?
In summer, everybody, exercise responsibly. Enjoy that exercise, everyone. Hopefully that's inspired you to...
But remember, it tends to lead to injury, so...
Yeah.
Unless, of course, that one of our advertisers turns out to be connected to...
Let's go, Peloton!
brought to you by Eugenides Shuttlecocks.
Eugenides, you need these shuttlecocks.
When you start cocking them, you can't stop shuttlecocking them. When you pop one out of the canister with its,
you know it's time to
out
shuttle back.
Pop a cock
to Minton, good Minton itself to.
Made using the feathers of only naturally dead seagulls. These guys died of old age.
Or were run over. But not deliberately. And it's a coincidence if they were run over by anyone who works for Eugenides Badminton Cock Shuttlecock. Now introducing the Eugenides logo. It's
they're doing the logo later on, are they? Yeah.
Well, hopefully Eugenides will be in touch, even if even if they haven't officially paid for that. We shall just invoice them, shall we?
I've always thought we could approach advertising by doing the advertising first and seeing if we can pick up the payment later, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, let's all crack open a can of Diet Fanta, in that case.
Yeah.
Which is what we always do, right, guys?
Yep.
Before we open our cache of letters, which have got Fanta sprinkled all over.
What's that? I'm going to sprinkle down the little aperture on my Fanta can to make it even a bit nicer. Some Schwartz cumin. Oh, now it's like a trip to a souk in Morocco.
Oh, and all served in one of Uncle Jumbo's special plastic flower pots. 2-for-1.
And remember, Morocco is the perfect place to visit if you want a water skiing holiday.
Patreon. Stop patronising me and start patronising me.
So, we need to tell our listeners about the fact that not only have we started doing adverts, but we have started a Patreon page. Mm.
Yes, advert-wise, confusingly, if you're outside of the UK, I don't think you will have received any adverts.
Oh. They just get the breaks?
They'll just get a 0.4 second break.
Okay.
Which they can enjoy.
Well, I would strongly advise them to put in their own adverts in those breaks.
Well, just like in their imagination.
Exactly. Or it wouldn't need to be a whole advert. It could just be just a couple of frames of some of their favourite products.
Yeah, and they've got no problem with that in America, have they? Because that's just part of capitalism, is part of life. Everyone has a stab at it. There's no embarrassment about
it. We don't have that luxury. So we have inherent slight embarrassment about sort of. But we are doing it.
We're finding it a bit embarrassing, aren't we? It's a bit like, God.
But this thing exists. Yeah. So this is a voluntary thing. It's important that people know that. No one is going to be bashing down the door. No one is going to be seizing your car if you fail to sign up to Patreon. But if you need a further bean feast beyond what is on offer, then there it is.
Yes. You get an extra, potentially, you get an extra episode, don't you?
Oh, God. try that again.
Well, Patreon.
Patreon's a great way for you to support the creators who make the things that you love.
Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
Try and do something like that, Henry.
You know how when you go to any local sandwich shop?
No.
Ham sub?
No. Absolutely not.
Maybe an open...
No.
An open
open casket funeral.
An open casket funeral. An open beef bourguignon sandwich or whatever. A closed.
What? Sorry?
A beef bourguignon sandwich.
Closed manuka smoked salmon. Whatever your sandwich tipple is. You go down your sandwich shop, don't you?
Right.
And you hand over a bit of money, don't you, for that sandwich. Well, these three jokers here have been dishing them out for gratis for a couple of months. Yeah? So, basically, we're not going to sell the sandwiches individually, but if you want, you can essentially stream in a way where
this
you can rent.
This analogy is on very, very thin ice.
You can subscribe to the sandwich shop. Other people can come in as well and get sandwiches for free.
What we've been doing we've been giving away free coleslaw outside the sandwich shop, which we'll continue to do.
Yeah.
Into your bare hands.
If four large spoonfuls of coleslaw into your bare hands per month isn't enough, there'll be sections of coleslaw which, when we're transferring it from the large vat into your hands, will fall onto the floor.
Yeah.
We're going to collect those up.
Yeah. They will be reclaimed and hosed down.
They'll be hosed down. And you'll be able to get a fifth portion of that coleslaw per month, which...
And that's a portion of coleslaw that's had a story to tell, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's been trampled on. It's been pecked at by birds.
Dead skin. Obviously, 70% of coleslaw is dead skin anyway, but there'll be additional dead skin.
I think we're getting really distracted getting quite a long from way the from... task in hand.
Yeah.
Ben, could you do the honours and... because I think you've got them in front of you, the actual physical details
yes.
of the Patreon.
Yes.
Would you?
There are three tiers of Patreon.
Good.
Number one. The haricot bean.
It's a good versatile bean, ideal in salads. You can heat it up. Probably you can add some tomato to it.
I'd recommend, Ben, that you speed this up to reduce the chances of Henry interjecting.
No, I wanted someone to set the scene about the haricot bean.
So it's a French bean. It's versatile. But in terms of the Patreon, if you become a haricot bean, you get an ad-free version of the podcast. Unless you're American.
That's quite
impressive. In which case, what do they get?
They no longer get the 0.4 second gaps.
Okay.
So if you want a truly seamless experience of the podcast, that's the only way to get it.
So is that the only way to get it with no ads and without the 0.4 second gap?
Yeah, that's the haricot bean level. It's a good level.
It's
a good level.
Yeah, it's a great level, that.
It's a basic entry level.
Because some people, when we announced we were going to have adverts, some people got in contact to say, this is a problem for me because I listen to this as I sleep.
Which we have talked about before. We have mentioned that we do find that...
hugely offensive.
Insulting. Yeah.
We do.
And it does chip away.
Every time it just chips a little...
Yeah.
A little more, doesn't it? And there's that weak, that sense that at some point... That'll be the final chip and we'll just fall apart.
Yeah.
Won't we? Shatter.
Okay, next tier.
Which is exciting, I think.
Pinto bean tier. Mm. Ooh. The pinto bean.
It's a freckly bean.
Freckly bean.
It's good in a wrap. It's good in a salsa. It was good with a salsa or in a salsa or after a salsa.
But not before.
Not before.
At the pinto level, not only do you get... ad-free versions, or if you're in the US, 0.4 second gap free versions. Mm-hmm. You also get a monthly bonus episode, extra beans.
Ooh. What?
Oh, I didn't That's feel like I ate enough beans this month. Well, don't worry. Come some more extra beans. Bonus ep.
Your bowl will be heaped full.
I would say it's the tier for the completist.
Yep.
You're someone who you know what you want, and you're not afraid to reach out and take it. But why shouldn't you look great at the same time?
Yes, the pinto bean tier will also give you a fine sheet of glossy hair.
Yes, it will.
We're unable to promise where exactly that will grow out.
You'll get a sort of hormone pack in the post. Just rub that onto your scalp or back. Yeah. And overnight you'll sprout a beautiful golden mane.
Why not try an elbow beard?
Give it a walk around the park. Don't judge it till you've tried it.
Mm. Like a sort of tasseled cowboy jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Lovely.
But of hair.
And finally...
And the final level is... You know, we know we've got a number of listeners who are premium level people. Mm-hmm. We've got Deutsche Bank executives.
Yeah.
The kind of people who wake up in Stuttgart, go to bed in Bremen... Mm. Wake up again, they're in Hamburg.
Yeah. They'll have lunch in Woking.
They've got ice sculptures in their ensuite toilets.
They've got aquariums in their aquariums. Mm-hmm. They've got aquaria, but with air in it inside their aquarium. So yeah. They've actually got like terrapins and lizards and stuff, like outdoor animals, dry land animals inside an aquarium, and it's called a drinarium.
What's so like a panda? It's trapped in a sort of
trapped in a horrifying universe where it's surrounded by sharks and like dolphins and crabs.
So they're in a kind of Hannibal Lecter style glass coffin, essentially.
Exactly, a drinarium, and that's why it's so expensive and so rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that tier is called the Sean Bean level, named after Sean Bean.
Yeah.
And if, like Sean Bean, you enjoy the finer things in life, the top tier, you get the ad-free episodes, you get the bonus episode. Mm-hmm. You also get a little mention on the podcast.
You get mentioned on the podcast. You're the kind of people who, wherever you live, it constantly smells of hot, hot camembert. Because you've always either been roasting a camembert or eating a roast camembert.
Or you've had one thrown at you.
We've had one thrown at you.
By a panda rights activist.
By a panda. Or a disgruntled employee.
Mm. Or you've got a foot infection.
Or you've got, as Ben said, a very angry foot infection from all the polo, that you play in volcanoes. Dangerous combo. Yeah.
So we have to cater to those people, of course.
Yes. So that's patreon.com/3beansalad. Yeah, help us out.
Do it if you want to. And if you don't want to, or if you can't, then don't worry about it, I would say.
But, you know, you can always borrow.
They will be finance packages.
Well, those payday loan guys. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of high street loans out there. There's trading your gold, all those things, aren't there?
There's loan sharks. People forget about loan sharks.
There's loan sharks, payday loans.
Do, yes. Contact your local mob.
Yeah. Any coastal town in the UK, if you go to a dockside bar and ask around very quickly, you'll be put in touch with the representative of loan shark.
It'll normally be like a one-eyed Jack or a one-eared Pete.
That's right.
Yeah. Watch your six, though, kids, right? Because you don't want to get press ganged. Okay.
That's the problem. You can end up waking up on a destroyer.
On a Portuguese destroyer.
Yeah.
Bound for Goa.
Yeah.
They're trying to take it back.
Yeah. And you don't want to be learning how to pilot a submarine on the fly. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the motto of the Portuguese Navy. it loses something in the translation, I think, but it's still an important point.
Also, loan sharks, much like actual sharks, have got a very bad name. Loan sharks, for one thing, they've never killed, as far as we know, they very rarely kill people, actually. They don't have to be constantly moving. They don't sleep walking around. A lot of people think they do. Just something to bear in mind.
Yeah. Do I need to be in a chainmail suit in a cage to go and see a loan shark? No, that's a shark.
No.
There exactly. are certain things where people get mixed up between the two.
Yeah.
Just wear some light body armor and probably arm yourself, I'd say.
Yeah. You want to be packing heat.
So if you can't stretch it, just simply at some point, maybe just shout thanks into the wind and that'll be really appreciated.
Also, by all means, have a tipple on the horses.
Oh, fuck. <God. laughs>
A tipple?
A twibble?
Flutter?
have a small
glass of sherry on a horse.
Have a sip of rum on a Shetland pony.
Have a sip of sherry on a Shetland pony and just...
And it'll put everything into perspective.
It'll put things into perspective. Because when you feel that warming liquid go down your throat and those muscular, shiny, you know, the buttocks and back of that pony throbbing between your legs, you know, it might give you back that sense of zest that you're maybe... felt was lacking.
And it's probably a sign that the Shetland pony needs a break.
The Shetland pony almost certainly needs a break at that point.
And that'd be a good point to pull out your phone, go to patreon.com/threebeansalad and join up. Join up at a tier that suits you.
Oh, very nicely done, Ben. Well done.
I've also made a little jingle, as is our way.
Okay. Oh, for the Patreon.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, go on then.
Brilliant. Here we are.
Let's hear it.
Patreon.com/threebeansalad
Quite menacing. It's my first note.
Yeah.
It's imbued with more threat than most of your jingles, I would say.
Definitely.
Do you think it strikes the right tone?
Well, I feel edgy. I feel... Do you want people to feel like a bit panicky and that they need to grab onto one of these tiers fast or, that, or they'll... Or they'll perhaps sort of be swept up in the River Styx and sort of washed into Hades.
The phrase, who pays the ferryman? I mean, and normally it's negative connotation, doesn't it, when that phrase comes up?
Yeah. Because, well, the alternative is, what happens if you don't pay the ferryman? You don't end up in Hades. Is that what the ferryman's to do with?
I think he takes you...
Does he take you across the River Styx?
Yeah, he takes you to the afterlife.
He's ferryman number one, isn't he? That's the... Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could just not pay him and then you wouldn't have to go to Hades.
It's win-win, isn't it?
Unless he makes you just stay on the boat for a few weeks and do some sort of basic sort of skiv duties, tip out the slops.
And believe you me, Cerberus has been in there.
One cleans up after Cerberus.
And he's been eating all the chocolates off the Christmas tree and it's...
it's a disaster. It's gone straight through him. And a lot of people don't know this about this. He's also got three anuses. he's tripled up at both ends.
So there we have good. It. Thank you for listening to
thanks
that.
For listening to that. That's our very slick sales pitch for our Patreon.
Yeah.
Main thing to remember is if you want ad-free episodes or if you want extra stuff, extra bonus episodes, that's the place to go.
But look.
Uh-oh.
There's a reason they call it the economy, yeah? People put stuff in and they take stuff out. So... by all means, enjoy it for free.
But then put something back in again, or take it out, whichever way it is. Yeah,
yeah. But pick a side, basically,
and leave the toilets as you found them.
Yeah,
And regardless of which Patreon tier you subscribe to, you can still get that 20% off at the Dragon Soup Cafe.
Oh God!
It doesn't affect that.
Stop.
Yeah,
That's yours, just as by dint of being a listener.
Right. Stop. I'm putting a stop to this.
No mocha or hot chocolate.
I'm putting a stop to this now.
Patreon.com/threebeansalad. Okay, emails. Time for your emails. Thank you for everyone who sent us an email to threebeansaladpod@gmail.com. Let's start with listener bollocking of the week. This one I like. It's a good example of what we're looking for, I think, because... as Tom sends it in, he describes it as a very light bollocking. And that's something I think that's what we want to foster here. Mm. It's not about barracking us. We're three hardworking men doing our best. But we will take a light bollocking at times. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Tom says, "Hello, Beans. This is a very mild bollocking."
Ideal.
"Aimed at Mike."
Ah. Okay.
You ready?
Oh, this is a lovely thing. Oh, what will happen next? Absolutely. Yum, 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 yum.
Henry set Schadenfreude to maximum.
Yeah. Bring it on.
I'm ready.
Accessing listener bollocking. Bollocking loading. Bollocking loaded.
So you made reference to a marine life centre in Torquay in a previous episode. He writes, "Sadly, the marine life centre in Torquay, brackets, living coasts, close brackets, did not survive the pandemic."
Oh, no.
Yours, Tom.
Didn't know that.
That's a mild bollocking. I don't think that's desperately sad. Yeah.
So they just sort of taken out a big old broom and swept everything into the sea.
The problem was you couldn't apply for the furlough scheme if you were a Ray.
No.
Well, the trouble is that you had to prove that you had been a Ray since at least November 2019. And obviously Rays didn't have any sense of time.
And they don't have, crucially, tax returns.
We don't have tax returns either, so it's very hard to prove you are a Ray.
Every time I went there, I told the Rays. I told them.
Get an accountant. You know,
yeah.
Get an accountant. Just get it done properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Henry, you'll remember you were the recipient of the first bollocking, the first listener bollocking from last series.
Yeah, that was to do with ice cubes and solids and stuff, wasn't it?
You hit back quite hard.
Yeah, so you bollocked back and hard.
Yeah, I did bollock
back. It's time for the re-bollocking back. He's bollocked back from your bollock back.
Ooh. Oh, no. Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm gleefully rubbing my hands.
I must say, yes. All right, let's see what he's got. I'm a bit worried about this.
It's Walter from Austria.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Brackets PhD. He says, hi there.
It's solid glass Walter.
I'll be man enough to admit that Henry got me by cleverly pointing out that a solid turns into a liquid if you apply heat to it. So he made a point I can't dispute.
Yes. Yes.
In this sense, if you heat up the shard, it will indeed turn into some sort of weird smooth nipple. Best regards, Walter. So that's not the bollocking back. He took the bollocking in good faith.
Very noble.
And he replied with that, which I thought was very noble.
Very noble.
It shows good character on the part of Walter.
Is there a PS coming then, or what?
Okay. So that first email was sent at 11:28 a.m. Then he stewed on it a bit. He waited until the following day, 6:39 a.m.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man, he had a sleepless night stewing
on
Henry
Packer. He's taken a walk around Lake Geneva, hasn't he?
The number of nights I've stewed on Henry Packer lost sleep. And just that's the time you crack.
Where's he from again? Is it Austria?
He's from Austria, so he probably hasn't walked around Lake Geneva.
Oh, he's probably walked around Vienna town centre, though, hasn't he?
Yeah. So then he's got to his computer at 6:39 a.m., sleepless, his eyes bleary. Oh, P.S. Also, Henry, if you're so clever...
Oh, God.
Why don't you just pour yourself a nice glass... Sorry. Also, Henry, if you're so clever, why don't you just pour yourself? I'm so pleased with this bollocking back.
I'm ready, by the way. I've got myself in the pouring position. I'm ready to do it. I just need to know what I'm pouring.
Sorry, I find this so amusing. Also, Henry, if you're so clever, why don't you just pour yourself a nice glass of glass? Because it's oh so liquid. Smiley emoji. Best regards, Walter.
Well, it's the old, it's the glazier's paradox, isn't it? He's having some fun with the glazier's paradox, and I doff my hat to him. Yeah, pour yourself a glass of glass. It's glaziers the world over. We'll often toast each other with a glass of glass.
Molten hot glass.
At their Christmas do's, which is why, there are less and less glaziers.
It's very hard to find the right glass to serve those in. We'll withstand the temperatures of the molten glass. Oh, God.
Well, you'll need heat-proof glass.
Oh, Walter must have felt so much better after sending that.
Yeah.
He must have felt like a new man.
He must have done. Having stewed all night.
And taken it in the kind of... very civilized manner, but you knew that he couldn't really take it.
What did he achieve that day after he'd sent that? I just wonder. He would have been turning heads, just bouncing down the streets of Vienna, full of beans. Well,
yes, I mean, lovely stuff.
Thank you, Walter. I think has brought that bollocking to an end. Probably.
I think bollocking complete. Oh, the bollocking circle is closed.
Checkmate, Walter. I'd say.
Well.
Oh, you're not going to let it lie, Henry?
Yeah, he's got you.
No, it's checkmate. I think.
But Henry's saying that now. Do you think he's going to have a sleepless night and then tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.?
Oh, could be.
Release a podcast at 6 a.m.
He'll ring us and say, get on the podcast, guys. Okay, so now time to work out this week's theme tune. Thank you to everyone who sent in a version of our theme tune. Of course, if you'd like to do so, please do send it in to 3beansaladpod@gmail.com. So let me read out the genres and we can pick by genre. So we've got laid-back modern jazz.
Yep.
We've got violin. Uh-huh. We've got bluegrass. We've got guitar. Mm-hmm. We've got mm-hmm. jazzy wine bar version.
Maybe keep it simple. Let's go with guitar.
Okay.
Ooh, lovely.
So this has been created by Fern. Fern writes, I've attached my rendition of your theme tune that I spent a rather large portion of time on instead of doing uni work. So I hope you like it.
Excellent.
So she's jeopardized her education for this.
Thank you, Fern.
Uni sucks though, right?
but guitar rocks.
But guitar rocks.
Play on.
But also long term, it probably is more important to focus on the uni stuff, actually. So do focus on the uni stuff. Even though it does totally suck, right? I wish I was just playing rock.
She writes, I'm no musician by any means. I have unfortunately never been in a Depeche Mode tribute band, but I have managed to grasp the basics of guitar in my 21 years of life. Of course, I wanted the piece to reflect the tone of the podcast, so naturally I went for a soothing lo-fi theme that we can all listen to on repeat whilst falling asleep, dreaming about our final crab evolutions.
Again, there's this theme of us being used as a sleep aid.
Yes.
Keeps creeping
which
back.
Just will not go away.
That does come through in the emails quite a lot.
Is there some way, do we need to make it a bit more intense, or is there any way of maybe adding a sort of cockerel screech every sort of 5 seconds or something? Is there some way of...
Strobe?
Maybe a strobe.
Oh, the world's first ever audio strobe.
An audio strobe.
I think so. We'll get on with that in the meantime. Thank you very much, Fern.
Yes, thanks, Fern. And also looking at the email again, I've realised it isn't actually a guitar rendition at all. So let's see what it is. And thank you, listener, for listening this week. We'll see you again. Goodbye.
Bye.